Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. At Alma, we know the connection between you and your therapist matters. But if you're already feeling stressed and burnt out, the idea of trying to find a therapist you really connect with can be overwhelming. That's why Alma's focused on helping you find the right therapist for you. When you browse their online directory, you can filter by the qualities that are most important to you. Then, book free 15-minute consultations with any therapist you're interested in seeing. And because 95% of therapists at Alma accept insurance, you can find care that's affordable too. You want to talk to someone, but not just anyone. Alma is there to help you find the right fit. Visit helloalma.com/therapy30 to schedule a free consultation today. That's helloalma.com/therapy30.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good afternoon.
Bears fans, this is Take the North with your hosts, David Haw and Dan Wiederer.
We're going to take the North and never give it back.
Welcome to the Take the North podcast. I'm David Haw from the Mullen Haw Show on 670 The Score. Dan Wiederer from the Chicago Tribune covering the Chicago Bears. And today, as we talk to you, Caleb Williams has completed his pro day in front of all 32 teams, most significantly the Bears, Ryan Poles, Matt Eberflus, and Mass with the staff. And Dan, it looked like we weren't there, but from people who were, quite a show for Caleb Williams.
Yeah, our guy, Brett Biggs, was in attendance there in LA, and he had nine representatives from the Chicago Bears in attendance. That did include Matt Eberflus, Ryan Poles. It also included Shane Waldron, Thomas Brown, Kerry Joseph, Ian Cunningham, National Scout Francis St. Paul, Area Scout Reese Hicks, Offensive Assistant Robbie Picazzo. So you had a full group of Chicago Bears representatives there to watch Caleb Williams work out, but probably more importantly, to see him interact and to spend part of Tuesday night going out to dinner with Caleb Williams, which is my understanding that that box is now checked. And we are one step closer to completing the entirety of the comprehensive evaluation that many around the league believe will result in Caleb Williams holding up that number one jersey from Roger Goodell 5 weeks from now.
I'm sure details will emerge, but I do think the dinner, the meeting, the off-the-field stuff was the most significant part of this trip out west. And I wondered, have you heard any details? Do you know under whose reservation the name was? Was it somebody clever like
Wally Payton? There was under,
okay,
Wally Payton.
There we go. You know, Caleb Williams talked about meeting with the Bears brass and talked about he said some nice things. He referred to Matt Eberflus as a defensive head coach. I thought that was interesting. Referred to Ryan Poles specifically being a guy who likes ball. I thought the way he talked about the Bears was what you would expect from a young man who's just starting to get to know people. They haven't picked him yet, so it's kind of awkward for him to be too presumptuous. But I don't know, Dan. I heard a lot of things from Caleb Williams today post-workout that I think we heard at the combine. He's got an easy confidence. He's likable. And there's some charisma. Will a borderline will he walk a fine line between that and cockiness? Probably. But he'll make some mistakes along the way. But there was nothing today that, at least outwardly, there were any red flags and character issues or concerns about behavior or immaturity, any of the things that we had heard going in.
No, and as far as the workout goes, Daniel Jeremiah from NFL Network referred to it as a proof of life pro day, which was essentially show people that you can still get behind a center, take a snap, drop back, throw a football, and then move on. It wasn't really long. It wasn't filled with fireworks. It was essentially, you guys have my tape, but in case you're interested, here's some other things that I can show you. The last pass of the day, a deep ball down the left hash. Really, really beautiful throw. And it's one of those ones that you know is going to circulate on social media. It's going to circulate on the morning TV talk show debate shows. And you're going to see it for 3 or 4 weeks. Does it mean anything? No, not at all. Is it fun to watch? Yeah, it's definitely fun to watch. It's a dime throwing 67 yards in the air. And it's a really nice pass that makes you go, wow, I would love to picture that happening on a regular basis at Soldier Field.
I know we're all about accuracy at the Take the North podcast, but I can guarantee you that by Thursday morning on the Mullen Haw Show, it will be a 70-yard spiral. It won't be a 67-yard pass that may have cut through the wind. It's a 70-yard spiral, and it was a thing of beauty. And when you watch it time and again, as people will on a continuous loop between now and the draft, I do think there was an easiness and an effortless kind of way about Caleb Williams. You saw him throw. It was against air. It means very little. But proof of life is a good way to put it. And, Dan, I think that there was just so much consternation and so much speculation about what this pre-draft process was going to be and how it might unearth, oh, my gosh, you know, he throws left-handed. Or, oh, my gosh, you know, something about the behavior that might have come up over dinner. So far, so good. And it seems like the Bears and Caleb Williams are just in the getting to know you process. But I liked the fact that there was, if you're a Bears fan, you've got to feel good about the familiarity that seemed to exist between Caleb Williams and the main Bears decision makers.
Well, don't forget, as we talked about in January, this was a two-way street that Caleb Williams was going to have to do his part to impress the Bears, and the Bears were going to have to sell Caleb Williams on their ability to put his career in good hands. And so part of this is about ingratiating yourself to Caleb, ingratiating yourself to his camp. You see the workout end and Caleb Williams go around and glad hand with some of his teammates, some of the other people in attendance. And it's nice to see him target Ryan Poles and Matty Eberflus and give him a short hug. It's nice to see on social media Matty Eberflus going over to the stands and speaking with Carl Williams, Caleb's dad. It's nice to see some of those connections being made. Probably the one that drew the most eyeballs, particularly after our buddy Brad Biggs tweeted out the photo initially, was Keenan Allen, new Bear, not even a week into his tenure as a Chicago Bear. He's already wearing the gear. He's in Southern California, obviously playing for the Chargers, being in LA, and he's got a chance to go and give Keenan Allen and Caleb Williams get a chance to give each other a handshake and say, what's up? And maybe I'll see you at OTAs in May.
That was maybe my favorite part of the entire workout. You saw as Big Z, I think it was, who was maybe videotaping one of the many cell phone cameras that were in play videotaping this exchange. But Caleb started to walk by. Keenan Allen was certainly there with somebody else. And then they kind of glanced and Keenan Allen appeared to say something to him. It was obvious they were familiar with each other. They came and just gave each other a half hug and moved on, kind of a casual thing. And then to hear both guys talk about the other, the relationship, to hear Caleb Williams talk about having a relationship with Keenan Allen, it was like, and know that they gave up a fourth round pick to get him. And when he said for him to come here, yeah. I know that every Bears fan heard that and like, oh, here, like Chicago, you're already here. All right. Now you're talking like one of us. So yeah, the Keenan Allen presence was interesting because would he have gone there had he been still a member of the Chargers or maybe had been traded elsewhere? I do wonder if him being a Bear, he was decked out in Bears gear already. Nice move, guys.
And Tony Medlin for getting him some gear on the way out of the door.
Tony Medlin's the MVP in that organization. he comes through yet again. And definitely, I think that resonated. And that's going to be one of those things you remember.
Well, no doubt. And you expect that connection to continue and to grow and to be a catalyst for Caleb Williams' development if indeed on April 25th the Bears turn in that card, which I think Tony Medlin might be part of the crew that turns in the card at the draft. And somewhere in Detroit, he may be the man responsible for getting that pick in the right hands of the people at the league office. Look, like the momentum has been going in this direction for a while. I was looking back at something I wrote in late January because I was trying to pull a quote for something I'm working on coming up for next week. And you go back and you revisit some of this stuff and you're like, this is just the natural progression of the snowball picking up snow. You know, it's been rolling downhill for a while and it's headed in the direction that most of the league expects to end with Caleb Williams landing in Chicago.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in baseball isn't boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Now, I know you've spent more time on the air this week than I have. You've gotten a chance to feel the weight of expectation that is already being thrown at Caleb Williams. I wrote a piece at ChicagoTribune.com earlier in the week telling Bears fans to be ready to just recalibrate your expectations. I'm not telling you to downgrade him. I'm just saying recalibrate him because you're bringing a rookie quarterback into the mix. But I'm curious what your feedback has been and what your reaction has been to what has been the week after Justin Fields' exit and suddenly a swarm of opinion on where the bar should be set for this team and this quarterback in 20.
There are a lot of people waiting for this kind of tempering of expectations, ready to pounce on what they believe is an inconsistency. The fact that, all right, now if this guy was good enough for you to want Justin Fields replaced, then why are you saying he's not good enough to have all these expectations on him? Why are you telling us to tap the brakes? I think that's the wrong way to look at it, obviously, because I think the two things can be true, and they are true, in my opinion. Caleb Williams was the obvious choice and direction to go for the Chicago Bears. He's a rookie quarterback. Still, you're going to be plopping into an ideal situation, maybe the best situation any number one overall pick has gone into because of where the Bears are. But you also are talking about a rookie. And Justin Fields leaving has more to do with the Bears' ambition and where the ceiling is, okay? Mm-hmm. So where the ceiling is with Caleb Williams is you believe you can win a Super Bowl because of him. Now, he's not a with him guy. He's a because of guy. No. And so the ceiling has changed. But as far as the floor, I think you've got to be realistic and fair. And fair is the word I think is missing here. You know, the floor could be higher than most rookie quarterbacks, but still, he's not going to be as high as some veterans. So the floor is probably a guy that's going to make some great plays. He's going to make some rookie mistakes and just be realistic in what you have. The beauty of getting Caleb Williams is more about the future than the present. He'll improve the present, but maybe not to the extent to which that, you know, if you place too many high expectations on him, he's going to probably not meet all of them because they're unrealistic.
It's 100% clear that there is still a ton of emotion attached to this conversation because it is still so new that the Bears have moved off of Justin Fields. My question is, how long does it take for that emotion to die down? Will that emotion still be percolating in week one when Caleb Williams goes out and throws for 222 yards and has a touchdown and two picks and loses a fumble? Will the people be ready to pounce and cast their "this was a mistake" verdict one game into the season when we know that Ryan Poles is going to take the very practical, very measured, long view of where this thing is headed, which is to set this organization up for success into Caleb Williams' second contract, into the 2030s, into a period where he can be the best quarterback to ever play for the Chicago Bears. Some people are shouting at me on social media, shouting at you over the airwaves, saying if he's not as good as CJ Stroud was last year, then it's a mistake. It's a bust. You sold him to be a generational talent. And if he can't clear that bar, then it's a waste of time. We'll slow down. Like, I'm going to afford Caleb Williams the same grace in my analysis in 2024 that I afforded Justin Fields in 2021. When Caleb Williams gets into year two, when Caleb Williams gets into year three, we're going to look at it through a different lens. But we have enough experience covering the league to understand some of the bumps in the road and some of the inevitable growing pains that you have to go through to make some of these breakthroughs. And I just want people to understand that the acceptance of inconsistency, the acceptance of struggle, it's not backpedaling. It's not moving the goalpost. It's not lowering the bar. It's just telling you this is reality in the NFL. And yes, the Chicago Bears as a team in 2024 should absolutely be ready to contend for a playoff berth. If they go 9-8 and miss out by a game, I'm not going to get the pitchforks out and hand them to my neighbors and say, storm the gates at Hellas Hall and call for everybody's jobs up there, because that's just not a measured view of the situation. And so we'll see how it goes, because David, I do think it's going to take a long time and probably longer than many hope for the emotion to die down in this conversation.
Well, I think you said the other day during one of our podcasts that you hope the Bears are able to, from an organizational standpoint, surround Caleb Williams with the kind of help him message better, help him be prepared for the crush of attention. And I think part of that is help him deal with what could be falling short of unrealistic expectations.
That's it.
And it's coaching him through these kinds of things. Because let's face it, what we're talking about is very an intangible thing. Could be a potential distraction. It could be a potential division. If you say the wrong thing or if you do the wrong thing yourself, from body language through what you say after a game, after you threw a pick where you thought Keenan Allen was going to break right and you threw it left and you're blaming all of a sudden a veteran and you can never outgrow that mistake in a town like Chicago. So I think it's incumbent upon the Bears as well. I mean, well, the fans are going to think what the fans are going to think, Dan. We've both been around long enough to understand that. To expect them to be rational as a whole is not realistic. But I do think the Bears can do a better job if they're expecting that they're going to have to help this rookie, you know, treat him like maybe a rookie. Give him some space, but also give him some help.
Right. And give him some grace. Right. I think that's an operative word here. I also think it's worth pointing this out. The Bears have gone 16-35 over the last three seasons. Not good enough. They are positioned to go well beyond that over the next 3 years. Right. Like, let's just be honest about it. They're going to win more than 16 games over the next 3 years, and they're going to be positioned to have a much higher level of success than we've enjoyed here. I tweeted after the Keenan Allen trade last week that the window to compete is open. You and I have discussed that. Now it's about getting the quarterback to prop in as a steel bar and keep that window open for a long time. But this idea that, you know, he's got to become CJ Stroud 2.0 immediately, this idea that he's got to become Mahomes because Mahomes' name has been attached to him overnight, it's misguided. And the contrast to that is, okay, he's got to be better than Justin Fields. That won't be a huge bar to clear. Justin Fields' season best completion percentage, 61.4%, passing yardage, 2,562, touchdown passes, 17, passer rating, 86.3, sack rate, 10.6%. Caleb Williams is positioned to be better than Justin's best season as a Chicago Bear as a rookie. I agree with that. And so we'll see how that measures up. I think one of the things I wrote, and I think you would probably agree with, is that already the trade of Justin Fields and the decision to move on to a rookie quarterback is prudent. It's sensible. It made perfect sense with where the Bears are positioned. But to qualify for it to be a success, there are going to be things that need to happen. There are going to be achievements that need to be unlocked. This guy's going to need to become a multiple time Pro Bowler. He's going to have to lead multiple playoff runs. You know, that's more than one trip into the playoffs where you win a football game. He's going to have to be a guy that elevates the play of guys you never heard of. And you say, wow, I want that guy on my fantasy team because he's catching passes from Caleb Williams. Those boxes are going to have to be checked. I just don't think it has to be done by Halloween, or we have to call for everyone's heads.
Thank you. I mean, eventually they'll get to all that. Eventually we'll start checking off those boxes and making sure that this is the ambition that the Bears, you know, maintain. But I do think that there's, it sounds to some people very contradictory or maybe even hypocritical, but you can be in a hurry to get him here. And also, once he arrives, remind people to slow down. And that's kind of what we're doing here. And I think that if it sounds inconsistent, then so be it. But I do think that you got to be realistic. And he's still a rookie. But rookie number one picks do bust. I don't expect that. I don't think neither one of us do. He looked really fluid today, and he sounded like a guy with that easy confidence that endears him to a large crowd and certainly is something that people have identified and associated with him since his days in Washington, D.C. So Caleb Williams had a good day, and I think Bears fans had a better one because they can look to this as another step in the right direction.
One of those Bears fans that you mentioned is a former player himself, Kyle Long, wore 75 here, joined the Take the North podcast earlier in the week. I wanted to revisit his excitement for what seems to be ahead for the Chicago Bears, play a little of the audio from the other day's interview, and get your reaction to Kyle's excitement about Kyle, about Caleb Williams and the opportunity to step in that direction as a franchise. So this was what Kyle had to say when he anticipated the idea of Caleb Williams becoming a Bear and whether he had any advice for a guy who's going to come in with first round expectations and a lot to prove to a lot of people.
You know, the irony of you saying when he gets his feet on the ground, the thing I love about his game is that he bucks trends. He says, screw your rules. You can't put me in a box. I'm going to play the game how I want to play. And more often than not, his feet are off the ground, Dan, when he's making these plays, throwing the football. I love that. You know, I've always been a guy that, I march to the beat of a different drummer. I had a unique skill set on the football field as an offensive lineman. And with that comes an appreciation for other guys who seem to have a unique, skill set. And this guy, Caleb Williams, jumps off the page to me. Not only from a throwing perspective, but a creativity perspective. He makes the game look like art. And when you watch a guy where you can't quite, he has a je ne sais quoi. about his game, he's got it. I mean, I what more do you want me to tell you? I mean, you can watch 30 minutes of highlights of the guy and some people aren't convinced, but he gives me, in my opinion, he gives the Bears the best chance moving forward at the quarterback position. And when you watch the Super Bowl, when you watch these playoffs, it's the quarterbacks that have a je ne sais quoi,
yeah,
that tend to win these Super Bowls. And, you know, I got to play with Patrick Mahomes for a year, and the things he's able to do, the shapes he's able to shift into, the quarterbacks he's able to morph into at the drop of a hat when things aren't working, when they're dropping eight and rushing three, and he's got to stand back there, and he can be frustrated at times because things aren't happening as quickly as his mind processes. He has to become someone else. And when they ask him to run the read option, he does it with relative ease. And he looks like Lamar Jackson. He goes on the road to Baltimore and slays the dragon of the Baltimore Ravens. He goes up to Buffalo and beats the giant, Josh Allen. And there's just, you need a quarterback that gives you, instead of fear, he gives you faith and hope. And
belief, right?
It's not back. A guy that you can win with. It's a guy that you can win because of. And I think that's Caleb Williams. And he is somebody that you're going to love.
Kyle did a great job. One friend of the podcast, our guy Zach Zaidman, even suggests that maybe Kyle could replace me on a regular basis. So I think Zach has some – I think Kyle could definitely do that. I don't think he wants to use his time.
I think he needs more money. I think he needs more money than you get. So
yeah, I think that'd probably be true. Je ne sais quoi. I don't know
French
that I
lessons.
Want to
French
tell
lessons
it, but I do think I know what he means. I also like the part – and we played this morning on Wednesday morning on the Mullin Haw Show where he – made a comparison of Caleb Williams to Steph Curry. You know, that was a lot of fun near the end of the podcast. You guys had a great rapport. I know he was a lot of fun to cover. You were there every day. I was there for every step of the way in terms of his career, not necessarily as much out there as much, but he was a fun guy to cover because he was always a very thoughtful, maybe, you know, could be intentionally cranky, but he was definitely more thoughtful than cranky, and he did a great job in the podcast.
Well, the Steph Curry reference sent me back into the archives because that was in reference to the 32-yard AFC Championship victory ceiling completion that Patrick Mahomes had to Marquez Valdes-Scantling 2 months ago, and Kyle seeing similarities to the check that the Bears ran on the play before the double doink in the Eagles playoff game, the only playoff game he ever played. And I wrote about this for the Chicago Tribune, which will come out later this week. You go back and you look at that and you see a pass that Mitch Trubisky threw into the end zone that would have been a playoff game winning touchdown to Anthony Miller, and he misfired. And then you see Patrick Mahomes hit a similar concept down the middle of the field to Marquez Valdes-Scantling. And Kyle's point was, you know, maximize the opportunity to minimize the misses. I love that quote because it was like, that's what the great ones do. And that's why you roll these dice. That's why you take this risk, because you see the potential of a guy that can get you through those moments, you know, and come up clutch when clutch is needed. And so that's when you've got a guy that's been in these locker rooms. Kyle had a transition from the loyalty to Jay Cutler to becoming buddies with Mitch Trubisky. Now he's ready to pivot off of Justin Fields and become a Caleb Williams fan, because you're constantly looking for the guy that makes everything right. And the Bears have been looking for that for 104 years.
Yeah, I think you see special in Caleb Williams. It's a different kind of special than we referred to in Justin Fields. I think Justin Fields, his running certainly was the case. With Caleb Williams, it's just the way he handles. He's a special quarterback. I think Justin Fields was a special runner. And that's not meant to be a knock to either guy. It's just a matter of fact, when you watch him days like on his pro days can be overstated. The Zach Wilson rule, you'll never overreact to a pro day. But I think that when you talk about what we saw from Caleb Williams on Wednesday, was him meeting every criteria and making 31 teams who were there along with the Bears kind of envious of the fact they're not going to be in a position to pick him like the Bears will.
On an interview after his pro day with Colin Cowherd, he also said, "I don't like to run. I only run when I have to," which I think was probably music to the ears of the coaches at Hallis Hall who were trying to get that in to Justin Fields over a long period of time of, you know, take some pressure off yourself, take some fuel. You know, don't use so much fuel yourself when you've got guys to help you. And so Caleb Williams being the default setting being, let's try to find a play to make as a passer, and let's use our ability to extend plays to make plays as a passer, is something that I think is going to resonate very quickly with his coaches there, and they won't have to spend as much time trying to work that into him to a successful level. And so, you know, an interesting quote there from Caleb Williams on a national outlet after his pro day.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey everyone, this is Brett Boone. Would you know it? I've got a podcast going strong in our fourth year. Tune in as I sit down with my friends, some of the biggest names in sports, media, entertainment, for a lot of fun and in-depth conversations. As you know, baseball's been my life. It's been in the family for a long time, but it's a lot more than that here. It's sort of like taking a ride in a golf cart around a beautiful track. Join me every week for multiple episodes on the Brett Boone Podcast, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back to another interesting quote, I think is definitely because in the context of what we saw today, Keenan Allen, as we mentioned, at the pro day because he's in LA, but he had to have probably, he's done a lot of traveling lately. This is Wednesday. He was in Hallis Hall on Saturday, and he made a point to be there today because they have a rapport, they have a relationship. Back on Saturday morning, Keenan Allen was asked about Caleb Williams, and I thought it was interesting to hear just what he had to say about a guy with whom he might develop a pretty quick chemistry.
Hell of an athlete. Obviously, he can make tremendous plays with his feet, with his arm. He looks like he knows the game really well, and he's really good.
Have you met him at any point? Yeah. What's he like, this guy?
Solid guy, down to earth, chill guy. I don't know much about him. I think I just met him once.
Twice now.
Twice now. He was also talking about how quarterback friendly? Do we have that as well? Because he took pride a little in being quarterback friendly with whoever's a quarterback.
If the Bears were to draft a young quarterback, how does your game help a young quarterback or being quarterback friendly in general?
Yeah, I think I'm just a friendly guy. You know, I'm a friendly guy on and off the field. Obviously on the football field, I know the game. I know the ins and outs. I know the zones. I know, you know, how to beat man. I know pretty much how to play the game. So, I just think I'm friendly for the quarterback because I'll be in the right spots. I know how to communicate with him, and, you know, my body language is solid too. So.
I will look forward to talking to, this is a plug if we get this out on Wednesday night, DJ Moore is joining the Mullion Haw Show Thursday morning at 8:25 Chicago time. We could ask him, first of all, why he wasn't in L.A. What does he have against Caleb Williams?
He's probably taking advantage of some of his offseason time. It'll be interesting to hear that feedback. Listen, I listened to Daniel Jeremiah talk after the pro day today about what Keenan Allen and DJ Moore will mean to Caleb Williams if they are indeed united. And he just talked about the idea of getting a young quarterback these baked-in completions. You know, this idea that you can set Keenan Allen free on an option route three times a half and get five completions out of that, you know, in a game to be able to get DJ Moore the ball and just let him work in space like we saw him do so many times this last season with Justin Fields and the Chicago Bears. And when you have two guys like that, that can strain a defense, and then you sprinkle in Cole Kmet, and then you sprinkle in a guy like DeAndre Swift, who's a good receiver as well as a good runner, you know, there's a cushion here, you know, for a young quarterback. And that's why people around the league are feeling pretty enthusiastic about dropping Caleb Williams into that type of infrastructure to be able to get his career off the right way. Yeah, I guess I'll turn it over to you on that. And then I have one thought that kind of branches off of that.
Yeah, I just wonder, in all that you've written this week on ChicagoTribune.com and talked about on The Score, I just wonder, how do you then answer what people would be the follow-up to what you just said is that, well, he's going to succeed because the Bears have put stuff around him that they didn't do for Justin Fields. So it's not fair to Justin Fields to bring in Caleb Williams. He has all these weapons, which to my immediate answer is like, why are you complaining? I mean, exactly. This is good. This is progress.
Exactly. My response to that is hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God that there has been some foresight and some vision to give a young quarterback the opportunity to have a chance. You know, that's what you're trying to do right out of the gates. You're trying to give a guy a chance to have a chance. That dovetails perfectly with what I was going to say to you. And I think the biggest pressure now kind of shifts into the coaches' offices. It's Matt Eberflus, it's Shane Waldron, it's Thomas Brown, it's Kerry Joseph. Those guys have to have their heads together on an everyday basis, figuring out how to do all this, how to put together a plan, how to craft a vision, how to make sure that you're adaptable and also in tune with the mental state of the quarterback as he goes through highs, as he experiences struggles. That is going to be a major challenge by a group that, on the whole, is pretty unproven. There's not a lot of skins on the wall of saying, other than Geno Smith's breakthrough with Shane Waldron 2 years ago, there's not a lot that you point to and go, man, that deserves to be in the trophy case. You know, that's an achievement and accomplishment in quarterback development that gives you credence and credibility here. So that's a big conversation that we're going to have in the next, you know, I guess 5+ months as we lead up to week one is how do they do this in a way that gets everything rolling from the start of rookie mini camp until the final day of training camp practice, where you go through the turnstile of week one and you say, hey, we're ready. You know, we're ready to go do this. And that's a big, big challenge for this group.
But what a great challenge to cover or chronicle, and what great crisis to be a part of. I want to get your opinion on a couple of tidbits before we wrap this up. Antonio Morales works for Athletic, the USC beat writer, and he was out there and he tweeted some quotes today from the Caleb Williams interview. And one thing's it's an innocent enough thing to say, but you know how Chicago fans might jump on this, talking about Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus. This is what Caleb Williams had said. To have, we had a bunch of teams here. I think they said all 32, but to have their investment, meaning the Bears, that they're possibly going to make, to have the GM and head coach here to watch me. The general manager loves ball, obviously, and the head coach loves ball, but he's a defensive coordinator, defensive coach. So to have them here supporting me is really cool.
Yeah, well, there's a little wrinkle there in the middle of what is otherwise a very heartfelt sentiment. Look, like I told you from Indianapolis, you know, at the start of the month that there seemed to be a very natural chemistry between Ryan Poles and Caleb Williams, because they seem to have a very similar kind of laid back confidence about the way they go about their business. And now Caleb's going to have to create that same connection with his defensive first head coach. And look, that's not a small deal. It's really not, because you talk to people around the league and you have to make sure that your defensive minded coach, who's lived his life in football a certain way forever, is willing to give you some freedom, you know, and it's not going to put the brakes on when you cross over the 30-yard line and go, well, we've got our field goal, let's make sure we don't screw it up here. And it's going to say, let's go for it here. Let's go for the jugular and give this kid a chance to make a big play. That's something they're going to have to navigate through, because I don't know that autonomy was always there for Justin as it was under Matt's watch.
It wasn't. That's a great point. I also wonder if at what point the relationship matters. I don't want to diminish that. But does Caleb Williams get to the point? Does the quarterback get to the point where he's bigger than the head coach? That it really is regardless of who the head coach is. How about Lamar Jackson telling John Harbaugh to go for it? Patrick Mahomes does the same with Andy Reid. Josh Allen does that with Sean McDermott in Buffalo. This is what you want. You want Joe Burrow deciding what's going to happen on 3rd and 5, not his head coach. So, yes, the head coach and quarterback relationship, very important, but I don't think it has to be, you know, something that you look at and say, well, that can't work. It can't work. If the quarterback's good enough, everything works. I think you know that.
But he has to have very serious connections within the building. And that's, you know, I bring up the coaching staff, and then you'll throw Tyson Bagent and Brett Rippon into that mix as the guys that will be around him every single day. Those will be the guys closest in his orbit. They've got to mean something. They've got to bring value. People ripped the Bears in 2017 for what they had around Mitch Trubisky, but I do think that Mike Glennon to some extent was a good, you know, colleague to Mitch Trubisky. And I thought Mark Sanchez's presence, although he wanted to be here for an entirely different reasons, I thought he was an incredible resource for a young quarterback to get the feel of the complexities of this game.
I love the Sanchez. You know, he's one of my favorite Bears.
We got to get him on here if we can. We got to get started.
I would enjoy that. Last thing, Dan, because then I got to roll. But two little tidbits. Do you think that there's anything to worry about when he says he's not sure yet when he's visiting the Bears or Hallis Hall? And secondly, did you read anything into the fact that he apparently shrunk between the combine and the pro day? There's like a half an inch difference, and he's not even officially 6'1".
I think it was a quarter of an inch. I think he was 6'1" and an eighth at the combine, and he was 6'7" at the pro day today. I don't know. Maybe there's different gravity in California than there is in downtown Indy. We'll measure him when we get out to the draft. We'll see where he's at there and make sure that it's not trending in the wrong direction. Regarding the visit, David, as we talked about coming out of the combine, I was always anticipating for it to come after the league meetings, which will wrap up next Tuesday night or Wednesday morning. Not sure what else the Bears have on their pro day itinerary, which essentially will wrap up next week. And then you get a chance to get these guys in their building. So I would think within the next 10 to 14 days that Caleb Williams will be in Lake Forest. And if anybody's skilled at tracking either United flights or private jet flights, give Take the North a call, and maybe we can be on top of that well in advance.
That would be great. We will take all the help that we can get. All right, so that is it on the Caleb Williams episode. A lot more things, if they happen, we will be here for you. Thank you for listening and watching Take the North podcast on your free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can watch us on 670 The Score's YouTube page, and you can be back with us next time as news breaks, as developments happen. We will be here for you, because this has become a really interesting offseason, and this has been one heck of a week. So for Adam Sadzinski and Dan Weider, I'm David Hoff. Thank you for listening to the Take the North podcast.
Great talk. See you out there.